Hey, folks, welcome back to another episode of School Spirit. We appreciate y'all tuning in and joining us. Tom McNew here again with Father Harry Dean, the one and only Father Harry Dean. And Father Will Rooney and Father Tim Nolte have carved some more time out of their busy schedules to come back so we can finish up our conversation that we've had the last couple of weeks about the Catholic schools aspects from Archbishop Michael Miller, who was the former secretary of the Congregation of Catholic Education at the Vatican. That is a mouthful, and I can't imagine the size of the business card that would have required. Anyway, just to kind of to put everybody back into the context of where we were, we finished up a little bit of talking about the third aspect. And actually, let me go back and I'll just read off all of them. And this is right out of that Vatican document. It says, if a school is to be authentically Catholic, it must be, number one, inspired by a supernatural vision. Number two, founded on a Christian anthropology. Number three, animated by communion and community. And number four, imbued with a Catholic worldview throughout its curriculum. And number five, finally, sustained by gospel witness. We kind of talked about the supernatural vision and the Christian anthropology last time, and we were starting into the communion and community and just ran out of time. So I want to pick that back up this afternoon, and we're gonna try and get through these last three aspects today with Father Tim and Father Will. So, gentlemen, welcome, and thanks for coming back and joining us.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
All right.
In talking about that communion and community, there's a word on there, the way that it's listed, that I really wanted to put to both of you. And if it doesn't land with you, that's fine. We can go to another angle. But animated is what? And it was a specifically chosen word, animated by communion and community, not thrilled by, not energized by, but animated by.
Yeah.
Where would you go with that?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is soul. Right? Like the Latin word for soul is anima. That's where we get our word animal. So an animal is a creature that has a soul that can move and eat and all sorts of things like that. And so you think about the soul, the interior reality. So it's an interesting thing because if you think about it, when you think about community, you actually often think of like, okay, let's get together and do all these sorts of things. But what is the soul of a Catholic school? Mm. And I don't know, Father Tim, you have any
that's
thoughts?
That's a question that we could spend a lot of time talking about.
We could talk about
right?
a little bit, yeah.
Well, I think about the word inspired as well, which relates kind of to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think that this is something that ultimately goes back to God. Uh-huh. He stirs up, right? And in the sacraments, we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit through baptism. So how's the Holy Spirit at work? Which means to me that if we're going to be animated and or inspired, that we need to be a people of communion with God first, communion with prayer.
I think that there's something really good there. Like you think about like inspired by the sacraments and I don't mean like just like emotionally inspired. I mean like literally the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us through the sacraments, and that's really the soul of our I'll use another fancy word, the soul of our apostolate, right, is that the Spirit is moving, and he's the source of communion within our communities. Our communities are founded on that reality that we're baptized and that we share in this communion. We call it the mystical body of Christ or the church.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that, I think that relates to how we perhaps perceive our work as pastors, which is if we're animated, like just enthused in the human sense, then we try and get things going and try and make things happen. But if we're inspired by the Holy Spirit, he can animate through charity all of our activities, which means the Holy Spirit brings order. The Holy Spirit does not inspire confusion or chaos. And so I have a lot of confidence in that you know, part of my job is to help find out how is the Holy Spirit inspiring this community and drawing us together. And sometimes you don't know, but you need to look to the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, our entire community, not only find the inspiration, but find how he's drawing gifts and talents together. Mm-hmm. This is clearly his project, his work, and I think I can't stir that up with him myself. I cannot animate people. I'm not a salesman. That's not my gift. It's never been my gift. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician by training, so I want to look for where God is at work and ask us, how do we get in on that? And it's going to be his order that comes through that.
Yeah, and I'm just struck by kind of the things that Bishop Conley has put in his letter, where it's like from that spirit of communion, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the soul, then there's like the communion of the faculty and the staff. There's the community of the whole all the families. And of course this, it like grows out and really I'm strongly convinced that a Catholic school is going to flourish when the entire parish community or the group of parishes that are going to that Catholic school says, yeah, this is part like of our community and we're committed to this mission. I think that takes a lot of forms, like practical, but it also takes a lot of forms just on a spiritual level. So,
and to your musical training, Father Tim, the word that comes to mind is orchestration. Yeah. It takes a type of orchestration to have that animation flourish and maintain itself throughout a school year, throughout a semester, throughout those different sub-communities within the school community itself. And in the case of the parochial school, you guys are it. Mm-hmm. You're kind of the orchestrator there. I know the principal, arguably, is certainly in that role as well. But if we're talking soul, if we're talking spirit, you're the priest. And you're there breathing that in.
You know, that's interesting you say that, Father Tim, or I'm sorry, Father Harry. And I agree, like, there's a key role for the pastor. I also, just maybe skipping the fourth bullet, but going
that's
down
okay.
to that sustained by gospel witness. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the key distinguishing marks of a Catholic school is that really we want every member of the faculty of that community to like be that sort of witness, yeah. right? So like that they're an instrument of communion in their own little space, right? So the teacher for his or her classroom, the principal for the actual running of the school and things like that, the pastor for the parish, the parent for the family and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, isn't it believing that, as a spiritual director told me in seminary, he said, Tim, you're not a problem to be solved, you're a mystery. In that as we come together in our parishes and in our schools, that God is at work as we focus on the right things. That how we treat one another, how we organize our day, how we organize our curriculum, that God continues to heal us. He continues to gift us with his gifts, and he continues to move us into a communal witness. It's sort of this thing that holds together. It adheres. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to solve, as we move further into the 21st century, the problem of the parochial school. We can talk about the issues with funding a parochial school, the relationship with the parish and finances, whatever it is, how do we get more people in? I mean, we can look at particular areas we'd like to grow in, but first, God has to be first.
Amen.
And then it's about him working in and through community to solve the problems we identify. There are objectives that we want to focus on, but we're not, I don't like to think that we're trying to solve a particular problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, one of the things that in Bishop Conley's letter that I'd like to kind of think about is just he talks about how everyone's involved, right? In all the parishes, all the people, and that's what you're kind of getting at. Mm-hmm. This is part of our duty as Catholics to evangelize, and genuinely Catholic education directs souls to Christ is what he offers. And so that's what we desire in our schools. We don't always do that perfectly, but and that's why it's an apostolate of the parish. And we think about how much of a force for good that evangelization can be. And then on like even on a practical level, Catholic schools help draw people out of poverty. There's some great data on that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, education serves the common good, both from the standpoint of like the state, but also the common good of, like, we're all going towards heaven together.
And I think that communal nature is one of the things that really separates, you know, the Catholic school from the, air quotes, secular school, in that it is truly, in that you as the priests of these Catholic schools, along with the staff at the school, they need the teachers, they need the parents, and they need the community involved in the school, albeit to various levels of degrees, to make sure that education of the children, along with placing God first, as Father Tim mentioned, is stays at the forefront. We can't just go to Mass in the morning at the church across the parking lot from the school, and then that and be done with prayer for the day. You know, that it has to be an important part of everything we do.
One of the things that I am, you know, forming this impression now that I've been here about a year and a half at St. Joseph, is the way that it creates another staging area for families to explore the faith. Mm. Because not all of our school students' families are Catholic. Not all of our students are Catholic. Every family is going to be a different place in their own faith journey. And so when we come together, we just had our Christmas concert last month. You know, you come together and you see people in busy times enjoying watching their kids, like we do in any school event, even a public school. But more so, it's explicitly Catholic, and the songs can be Catholic, and they tell the story of the faith. And I think it's great to have another place where young families, where parents are going 90 miles an hour, to be able to explore in the arena. Some might become more curious from what they hear about the kids learning. Others might say, good, we're here because we know, and I'm really engaged in the school now because of how we're learning about the faith and our world. So I like the possibility that it offers families to grow together in the faith as we just do some of the ordinary extracurricular things of a school, but on campus.
Yeah, I think that leads us really beautifully to this next point, which is that a Catholic school is imbued with a Catholic worldview through the entire curriculum.
What does that mean? What does a Catholic worldview mean?
Yeah, so I think that it looks at the world differently, right? Okay. So a worldview is how you look at the world.
Yeah,
that's pretty selfish, and we all have that, right? So do you look at the world as created, or is it just an accident? Do you look at the world as an just kind of like the work of a loving father, or is this like a tyrannical kind of deistic God that just kind of leaves us on his own? And a Catholic worldview would say, well, what is, you know, we talked about anthropology, what's man, what's the world, all of those things. And so what that does is when you approach everything with a Catholic worldview, I think you're saying God is not absent from any subject, right? He's not absent from math. He's not absent from science. He's not absent from religion class, obviously. He's not absent from literature. But, you know, not to say that you don't use the proper means of studying science or math or whatever. You're not reducing everything to theology or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you're saying there's, in math, when we discover something in math, you know, when the kid understands that the sum of the squares of the sides of a right triangle is equal to the square of the hypotenuse, after you've told them that 18,000 times and showed them the proof, then they're getting a little glimpse into the mind of God.
Yeah.
You're seeing a little glimpse there. Or when and Father Tim, you might be able to speak to this because you're a musician, but like when
the beautiful orchestration.
Yeah, when someone learns to play that piece of music or learns to harmonize or whatever it is, there's some glimpse into the harmony found within God.
Yeah. Do the creations speak of the glory of God is the question. As we lean into our intellectual understanding, is God there? Is he the one who is created and organized our intellect? Is there a telos? Is there an end? Is there an ordered way of understanding? We could get into natural law. We could then move to divine positive law, revealed truths, but it's not, you know, theology is not, it's a different science than, you know, anthropology or paleontology or
biology,
but the gift of the intellect is not different. It's the same gift from God, and to discern intelligibility in each of these subjects is part of getting to know the mind of God.
It's
there's a source.
And I think it really awakens, like when we look through the lens on all these subjects, when we look through that Catholic lens on all these subjects, then you start to see the goodness of God on display in, for example, the life of a great saint that you're studying in history, or you see the beauty of God on display when you look at a great piece of art, or you see the truth of God when you understand a mathematical truth or a moral truth or something like that, and you get these glimpses of the transcendentals, goodness, truth, and beauty, and that changes the way you live. And this starts with little kids, right? Like I'm thinking back to the Republic of Plato, where he says you got to start as a young person to learn these things and be formed in them, so that the way you look at the world is actually going to show you what reality is, as opposed to kind of a subjective,
Yeah. But all of that leads then to kind of put a bow on it, I guess, for is this last point about being sustained by that gospel witness. And so again, kind of hitting on, as you started out, Father Harry, with that one word, and sustained kind of jumped out at me, and how, and really these are, every one of these little aspects is all intertwined, but you, without being sustained by that gospel witness, you lose some of the aspects of, or you lose entire aspects of the other pieces of this. And I think that we have to have that evangelistic mindset, as not just we, or you rather, as the leadership of the schools, but we as the laity that are being called upon to be involved in the schools in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But sustaining that through that gospel witness, I think, is absolutely critical.
And that sustenance word, you know, being a retreat center chaplain for our diocesan retreat center, Cedar Break, this is a place where a lot of people come to be sustained. Father Tim mentioned a little while ago about the families being able to come together from this racetrack life, that wasn't the word you used, but that the rapid life and flow that they have, and coming into that school community, in my mind, is almost like every day those children, teachers and administrators and lay participants, are coming into a retreat type setting. You're walking into a Catholic worldview center, and it's not the world flowing around them.
Yeah, and that's the hope, right? I mean, it's a school, and there's always craziness, and there's always, I mean, you're dealing with human beings, but that's the hope, right? Like that there's order in the school and that sort of thing. But more to that point, Father Harry, I think, is this, like, even when something goes wrong, there's a witness. There's a way that we do things because we're Christian at this school.
And it's the gospel.
And it's the gospel, right? I think that's a beautiful, beautiful testament to everything we do. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's that approach with love that I think that we get. And that's not to say, before people start calling me, that's not to say that love doesn't exist in a secular school, but in a Catholic school environment, it is decidedly, discernibly, palpably different, and not exclusive, not 100%, obviously, because we're all humans. We all have, you know, sin is our nature, but that approach and that mindset, again, as Father Tim said, with God at the forefront, helps shape those approaches, so that when things do go sour, they turn bad or whatever, that approach with love and that gospel witness helps overcome those issues. thoughts, comments?
Yeah, I just recall that quote that Pope Paul VI wrote. I think many people have probably heard it, but modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. Mm. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they're witnesses first.
Yeah.
And so that's what I expect of all of our faculty and staff, is that they're good witnesses of the gospel truth. And obviously I don't expect perfection of that, but like that's a real basis for a learning community. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you think about what learning and education is, it's like a form of friendship. It's a different type of friendship than friendship between equals, but it's a type of friendship that says, let me point out to this person who doesn't know what I know. Let me point out this thing and let's go towards that good together. Right. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it requires that we be authentically living the Christian life to do that.
Yeah. So as everybody is listening to this conversation that we've had the last couple of weeks, here we are on the Friday before Catholic Schools Week. And so this is an opportunity for those of you that, you know, maybe grandkids, kids, and you're just not happy with where they are now. And this is an opportunity for you to find out what is the difference. So if you're in the vicinity of St. Joseph's in Colleen or St. Mary's in Temple, I encourage you to reach out to that school.
Or Holy Trinity in Temple as well.
Yeah, or Holy Trinity High School, or even St. Helens in Georgetown or St. Mary's in Taylor. Any of the Catholic schools in our diocese, frankly, or for those of you that are listening through the app, wherever you're living, this is an opportunity, because this Catholic Schools Week is not specific to the Austin Diocese. It's across the country. This is an opportunity for you really to find out what the Catholic school in your neighborhood, in your parish community is really all about. Mm. And I encourage you, before we
frequently
go ahead.
Do tours, right?
Yeah.
We love to have people come on campus.
Absolutely.
We'll give them a tour. And if you're an alumnus or an alumni family and you're curious, come by. We'd love to give tours to you as well. We have ways to involve you in the current mission of the school if there's something that this has meant for you in the past. And also, Father Will and I were talking, sometimes, because a lot of our Catholic schools focus more on the lower grades, it's not hard to lose track of our alumni over time.
Yeah.
But we always enjoy having the chance to add more people to our alumni list, to include them in our newsletters or our communications, because so often they find what we're doing interesting today, and we want to include you in our mission as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an awesome invite.
Yeah. And I think, again, that's not exclusive to St. Joseph's or St. Mary's. That's for any any alumnus of any Catholic school, regardless of where you are in the country. Again, our focus is Sears Central Texas, but reaching out and reconnecting, for lack of a better word, to the school that, and it doesn't matter if you were there for 6 months, and your dad or mom was Sergeant Jones and got reassigned, or Mr. and Mrs. Smith got a better job in another town and you moved and you were only school in that particular Catholic school for 6 months, this is an opportunity for you to reconnect and really find out a lot about what the schools, plural, have to offer. And I think you're, and I'm an outsider. I fully admit, because I do not have children in any of the schools here, and my grandchildren are in other parts of the country. And so I look at these particular schools in our listening area specifically, with a little bit of a different lens. I would love it if my grandkids were here. I could send them to any of the schools, and if my kids are listening, that's a hint. But so I get an interesting perspective on the schools, and really this is an opportunity for everybody to go and do some investigation and find out. And if you want to know more about specifically about what's going on at the school in your neighborhood, pick up the phone, give them a call, go to their website. It'll all of them will be linked in our show notes, of course, and you know, or just type into the old interweb machine, the search engine, you know, the Catholic school in your area. I know that, and I'm speaking for you, and I don't like to do that, but I know that both of you would be enthused and joyous beyond compare to have your alumni and or prospective students reach out and talk to you.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in teaching in Catholic schools, you're an awesome teacher who wants to be able to proclaim the gospel, we'd love to hear from you as well. And we'd love to hear from anyone who's interested in supporting Catholic education in any way. If you've got some sort of skill or you have some sort of passion, chances are Father Tim or I could point you in the right direction. So we would love to hear from
time, talent, and treasure.
Yep.
Yeah. We got about a minute left. Father Harry, any final thoughts here?
I want to ask everybody to pray for our Catholic schools, whether you're not in any of those groups that my brother priests have mentioned here today, or Tom, there's the rest of the Catholic community, whether there's a school not geographically close to you or there is, just simply to pray. Schools have a very big impact in society. We've talked about that in the previous program, but a lot of things are going on in the lives of school children as well, and their parents. And so please just pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Father Tim, Father Will, thank y'all very much for carving some time out of your calendar. Next week, we're going to dive into a little bit of a specific school. We're going to talk a little bit about Holy Trinity Catholic High School. A little more in depth, learn a lot about the school itself, its history, and the future for the school. We've got some guests we're working on to get brought in. And over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to kind of do the same thing at each one of our schools. So we'll bring Father Will and Father Tim back with their staff, their principals, principal singular. But for the grammar people out there. Anyway. God bless you all. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate y'all's time for coming and being part of this session. And we're going to ask for the specific intercession of, we have now designated Blessed Carlos, well, soon to be Saint Carlos Acutis, as the patron saint of this program. So we're going to ask for his intercession. God bless everybody for tuning in, and thank you all very much. We'll see you next week.